right. Good morning. What a grace to be together. Good morning, Linda. What a grace to be together today. Well, Gideon had some problems. He was part of the Israelite people who were after the time of entering the promised land, but before the time of the kings. And the Israelites forgot what God had done for them. They rejected God's kingship, and everyone did as they saw fit. A recipe for disaster for any of us. In opposition to God, they joined with the people of Canaan and worshiped their false gods. Somebody say, uh-oh, right? Like, this is self-destruction. And in the passage we just heard, the Israelites then cry out to God because of their extreme suffering, and God being God graciously does two things right away. First, sends them a prophet to remind them God had rescued them out of Egypt and delivered them out of slavery, reminding them of the land that God had given them, and also reminding them, oh yeah, God had told you, don't worship other gods. The second way that God responds to the Israelites crying out is by graciously sending an angel of the Lord who proclaims to Gideon that God is with him. Well, this Christmas, we heard about the gift that we have been given, Emmanuel, God with us. But Gideon, though, in his fear and in his confusion, he says, hey, wait a minute. If God is with me, then why did all this bad stuff happen? He could have written a bestseller, when bad things happen to good people, right? Even though there's some gaps missing in that book. The only explanation that Gideon can come up with is that God has abandoned them, even though he is talking with an angel of the Lord. Do you see? We notice this all throughout Scripture. Today, we're thinking about God's activity, noticing that God's people all throughout Scripture and us today sometimes have difficulty understanding God's activity around us, even when it is right in front of our face. And actually, our Christian theology recognizes that God is always at work around us. And this gives us great comfort. It builds our faith to practice believing that God is available everywhere we go. God neither slumbers nor sleeps. God is always powerfully working. I noticed several times last Sunday during the worship service and various times over the past several years where I've heard us pondering, was that God at work? The thing that just happened, was that God or was that fate or coincidence or a good fortune or luck? And so I thought it would be helpful for us today to have some keys to unlock these questions as we seek to live faithfully following Christ together. And I say keys because there's no formula for this whatsoever, and that's by God's design. God is much more interested in a relationship with us than any rule book. God is much more interested in building our faith than any formula. So these are keys, and there's much guesswork and uncertainty. There's a lot about God's activity that is mysterious, and it's unique to each individual. And if we knew for certain, then faith wouldn't be required. So seeking out what God is doing can be confusing because sometimes God's activity looks like something wonderful that just falls into our laps. And sometimes God's activity looks like God giving us the peace in the midst of a chaotic situation, or God giving us comfort or perseverance when we're needing to have strength in a difficult situation. Sometimes God's activity makes sense to us, and sometimes what God is doing seems completely illogical at the time. And if we reflect back, like Paul is inviting us and reminding us, then we get to notice these ways that God is at work. Gideon and we are so familiar with our weaknesses that our belief in what God can do through us limits or delays what God actually does through us. But God sent a baby to save the world. And Christ died on a cross. So our hope does not rest in our circumstances or abilities or expectations. Our hope is in God Almighty. Our humanness leads us into all sorts of dangerous rabbit holes, which is not the correct vantage point for being able to interpret what God is doing. So remember the last time you were hurt or angry with a person or a circumstance. How simple was it to understand what God was doing? How easy was it to feel alone, even from God? We need this faith community of all ages continuing to practice the give and take of relationships and pointing one another to what Christ is doing. So as we dip our toes into this vast conversation, may we seek humility rather than certainty. I am not an expert at this whatsoever. I have been looking for God's activity around us for about 13 years, and I have so much more to learn. And so we invite God's Spirit, given to us at Pentecost, to teach and to guide us. So here's the first of three keys. Look. Look for patterns. For me, it's often a word or a concept that's repeated over and over, whether I'm reading in Paul or whether I'm reading something in the prophets. The same word or phrase keeps coming to mind over and over, and then I start hearing it in songs and elsewhere. I'll give you an example of this. Recently, I was at a Walking Roots Christmas concert, and they sang a song which was new to me called Singing Light. Which impacted me powerfully because it gave me an image for what God had been speaking to me through Isaiah 9 that I had been studying about God sowing hope into the darkness. And the song was also an answer to prayer. Recently, I'd asked the elders to pray for me that I would have a experience or encounter with God that was for me. One of the joys of my job is I get to spend time in Scripture studying. But I asked the elders to pray that God would provide something for through Scripture that was for me. Because when I'm reading Scripture, my antenna's up and I'm always listening if there's anything God wants me to share with you. And so this song and the Scripture of Isaiah 9 were also an answer to prayer. So thank you, elders, for your prayer in that. Look for answers to prayer. Next, look rightly. Gideon thought their suffering meant that God was absent. He could not have been more wrong. God was near, and Gideon needed a bigger picture of who God is. Sometimes we expect God's presence to equate with propping up our feet and eating bonbons or a pork barbecue sandwich or whatever the food is of your choice that you equate with, you know, relaxing and taking it easy. I have had a taste of joy and contentment in life with God, and they are often in the midst of suffering. God is especially close to the brokenhearted. Gideon thinks God is absent because Gideon's plans didn't happen. How many times did things not go as we planned, and our conclusion was to blame ourselves or others or even God, or get confused about God? God is always at work. Looking rightly is comparable to the proverb of the farmer whose horse ran away, and upon hearing the news, his neighbors came to visit. "Such bad luck," they said. "Oh, we'll see," said the farmer. The next morning, the horse returned, bringing with it two other horses. "How wonderful," the neighbors exclaimed. "What good fortune." "Oh, we'll see," said the farmer. The next day, his son tried to ride one of the untamed horses. He fell off. He broke his leg. The neighbors sympathetically said, "Now your son cannot help you with your farming. What terrible luck." "We'll see," said the farmer. The next week, military officials came to take young men into the army, and seeing that the son's leg was broken, they passed him by. The neighbors congratulated the farmer on his fortune. "You must be so happy." Well, the man smiled and said to himself, "We'll see." Well, as Irvin Stutzman said last week in his sermon on God's time, we are desperately nearsighted in understanding why things happen. God chooses things to happen even though we don't understand at the time. As Scripture says, we see through a glass darkly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Wow. Well, this too ties into our Ecclesiastes scripture last week. Remember verse 14 that says, "I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away from it." Well, that's a big reason to pay attention to God's activity around us because it lasts forever. And maybe the eternal nature of God's work helps us, like Gideon, to loosen our grip on our plans and to get comfortable with a bigger understanding of a bigger and sometimes mysterious God. So to review, we had look for patterns, look for answers to prayer, and look rightly. And let's move briefly to the last two keys. After we look, we check. Check for alignment and check for God. And here's what I mean. When we notice a pattern, for example, and we are discerning whether this is God's activity around us, check to make sure that the concept aligns with Christ and with Scripture. And if you're uncertain, ask a mature believer. Also, we check to make sure God was even required. In the very next chapter of Judges, God takes Gideon's army from 32,000 down to 10,000 down to 300 against 120,000 soldiers. Do you know how many people were in Gideon's army who physically touched the enemies with their sword? None, or at least none recorded in Scripture. Each man held his position around the camp, blew a trumpet, and smashed a clay jar with a light inside, while the Lord caused the enemy to turn on each other and flee. Was God required? Absolutely. So now we understand that our battle is not against flesh and blood and that Jesus came to bring peace, but that story of Gideon reminds me of a congregation who had persons present in it who longed to install solar panels but were willing to wait on God's strength and God's timing. Which brings us to the last key. You can picture us at a crosswalk, and after we look and check, we walk, seeking to live reflecting Jesus. My challenge for us is to put ourselves in circumstances where we will recognize God more and more. So the more we read Scripture, the more we can understand who God is and how God works. When we add 5 minutes to our prayer time, the more we can grow in our relationship with God. The more we reflect, the more connections we can make. The more we stand watch outside of our own foxholes, the more light or epiphany that we can see. The more we submit in relationship with God's people for study, fellowship, and worship, the more we can recognize God together, and on and on and on. There is so much more that needs to be said and discussed. My door is always open for further conversations. But in closing, I want us to think again about your recent circumstance of hurt or frustration. Since there is no place where we can go where we are apart from God's love, and since God is love, How might God have been present and loving you in that circumstance? Like the Apostle Paul, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation so that we may know him better. I pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened, epiphany, in order that we may know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Amen.